Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
This is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Do not forego that summer vacation. The Grand Hotel makes it easy and affordable for you to make memories with your kids and your loved ones. Just go to GrandHotelCapeMay.com. All right, a couple of things happened right before we came on the air. The White House press briefing was an absolute S show of the highest order. Now, I played some of it at 3 o'clock. I want to play a couple other clips that I have not played for you. But right before I get there, Joe Biden's going to speak at the NATO summit. I'm not going to play it for you because I don't want to put you to sleep when you drive home. That's just not right. We are streaming live on YouTube right now, as a matter of fact. But at the NATO summit in Washington, D.C., Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, no relation to Fidel Castro, allegedly, not his bastard love child, we're told by executive producer Matt DeSantis, even though he looks just like him and acts like him as a dictator and as a penchant for Cuban food and Cuban totalitarianism. At the NATO summit in Washington, D.C., he gave a speech about one of NATO's biggest threats. And again, I have to remind you that to the left, this is truly what they think is the greatest existential threat facing mankind. Excuse me, humankind, peoplekind. We don't like to say mankind. Don't forget, Justin, mansplained to that woman that one time. And he said, peoplekind. We don't like to say mankind. So one of the greatest threats to mankind was said by the man-child, Justin Trudeau, today. Take a listen.
Canada and NATO have long recognized an indisputable fact. Climate change is not only existential environmental threat, but one of the defining security issues of our time. Rising sea levels and increasingly frequent and intense natural disasters threaten security infrastructure like ports and military bases that keep our alliance safe. A warming Arctic is opening up a new arena of competition that our adversaries are eager to exploit. And
how?
Climate-induced floods, famines, and droughts exacerbate inequality, fuel conflict, and drive displacement across the globe, all of which disproportionately harm marginalized and vulnerable populations. Overall, climate change risks creating a less stable, less prosperous, and less secure world.
And if he says it really slow, that really means it's true. My question is, why isn't Cuba underwater by now? Why hasn't Cuba just completely flooded and it's just an underground Atlantis at this point? And when does that happen? And again, with the military fleet, our naval fleets that are all going to be flooded out because of climate change. But this is what they think. They think it's the greatest existential threat. And they always say this. But, you know, I just want to remind everybody that it's up. Oh, can you pot up my thingy, my little soundboard?
We like to say people kind, not necessarily mankind. It's more inclusive.
Yeah, more inclusive. Hey, we like to say my dad is Fidel Castro. Allegedly. Just saying. Well, I said allegedly. I have to say that by law. It's part of the FCC requirements.
Yeah, we don't actually believe it.
No, we don't. I mean, we don't believe it, but maybe George Soros does. I don't. I haven't asked him. Possibly. So here's some Democrats in the House who today all came out and said they still support Biden, or they're asked if they still support Biden. In this little clip, you're going to hear from Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, the vampiric one Nancy Pelosi, Veronica Escobar, and Pramila Jayapal. Notably, it's Pramila Jayapal who says she's not here to give advice. Remember, Jayapal represents the extreme kook wing of the Democrat Party. They don't want Biden at all because Biden is pretending like he cares about Israel. Cut number 9.
I made clear publicly the day after the debate that I support President Joe Biden and the Democratic ticket. My position has not changed.
But that's Biden and the Democratic ticket. Do you support Biden on the ticket or just Biden and whatever the ticket is?
Same answer.
Listen, we have a great president. He has a great record working with us. A great record achievement. And I'm hopeful that he will be the next president.
I really do believe that the more members of our caucus who speak directly to him, the more confident they will feel. So I've encouraged the White House to make sure that the president does as much outreach as possible, or not the White House, but the campaign, that the president does as much outreach as possible.
All right, listen, I'm not here to give advice to my colleagues. They all have independent districts and things that they feel like they have to do. I do think that we should continue to have whatever conversations we need to have with our constituents, with our colleagues. We should have them in private.
We should have them in private. And that's what they're doing. They're having closed door conversations right now. Or they're having very public ones, like James Carville, when he wrote in the New York Times that the Obamas and the Clintons should get together and they should have these little roundtable discussions and they should pick the next generation of leaders. That's what Carville's saying. Now, the raging Cajun's not happy because he knows right now that Joe Biden's going to lose. But he also knows something else, which is that Kamala Harris is also going to lose as well. By the way, our friends at the Media Research Center, they did a study, and this won't shock you in the least because late night TV is not funny, which is why Gutfeld's doing so well and why my buddy Jimmy Fallon is crushing it on Saturday nights, which I should mention to you. I will be back on Jimmy's show on July 27th, which is a Saturday night. Set your DVR. You have plenty of time to set it. Next week, we'll be live at the Republican National Convention. But the point I'm making is that late night comedy is not comedy. 94% of late night guests are liberal. 94% of them who go on those late night talk shows. 94%. That's why I don't imagine Jimmy Fallon is going to get an opportunity to go on Seth Meyers or Stephen Colbert anytime soon because he's Fox. They only like to have the same people on because those shows are also an extension of the corporate media, which is there to do the bidding of obviously the government and the Democrats in power. So that's the thing. And now, if you are really worried about the media, you have to wait until it's government funded. There's a great story at Reason.com about this by J.D. Tuccilli, and subsidies for journalism will divorce reporters from the need to even try to win over their readers and viewers. Right now, what we see in America, and this is very obvious as Biden implodes in front of our eyes, well, maybe implodes not the right word, as he winds up just decomposing really in front of our eyes, that the corporate media has been in cahoots with the government and big tech. I call it the unholy triad, the dark triad. It's the government, big tech, and corporate media. We were told these were cheap fakes, all these videos of Joe Biden. Karine Jean-Pierre told us that. And the corporate media went out there and they dutifully said that over and over again. And everybody from Joe Scarborough to Nicole Wallace and the people on The View, and because they're all in on it together. 94% of the guests on late night comedy shows, so-called comedy shows, I'm doing air quotes if you're watching on YouTube, are liberal because, again, those shows are extensions of the corporate media and the government and the unholy triad. Well, there's people who are pushing, and these people are Democrats, like in New York, for example, to subsidize news media. And what they want to do right now is they want to have the government fund under the idea of bringing local journalism back, to ratchet it away from the evil corporations. But the big lie here, of course, is that the corporations, which control the corporate media, that's why we call it the corporate media, they don't want, and they're not worried about your local town home newspaper. They're not worried about these things because their job is not to actually report on the news. What ABC and CBS and NBC do is exactly what MSNBC and CNN do, and that is that they are there to push the narrative. They're not objective gatekeepers. The New York Times is not. The Washington Post is not. And New York becomes the first state in the nation to incentivize hiring and retaining local journalists. That's what they said after the bill was passed and then shoved into the state's massive 2025 budget. The Local Journalism Sustainability Act was included in New York's recently passed state budget, sets aside $90 million. To subsidize local news for the next 3 years, according to the Columbia Journalism Review. Eligible outlets can apply to receive a refundable tax credit of up to $25,000 for the first $50,000 worth of employee salaries, with a per company cap of $300,000. That's a lot of money for a small newsroom, and they say could help stave off further layoffs and outlet closures. But the question becomes, if it's something that people want in the marketplace, why would the government have to come in and subsidize this? The answer is they shouldn't have to. But the government loves to control what? Information. And they love to tell you what is information and what is disinformation and misinformation. They love to do that all the time. Part of what Karine Jean-Pierre is out there saying right now, what she's been saying, is that all these videos of Biden that you see, these are cheap fakes. And the corporate media goes along with that as well. It's the same reason why they want to try to control the internet, why they want to regulate social media, why they want to have age verification. They want to be able to threaten sites like X, which is owned by Elon Musk, to say, watch what we do with TikTok, all under the guise of protecting you from China and protecting the children. But remember, we can take over if we have to. This way they can control the information. Now, they say the law does not try to police the viewpoints of eligible media outlets, but the law does allow the New York State Economic Development Agency to list certain types of establishments as ineligible. A broad phrasing that gives the agency a huge amount of leeway as it crafts regulations in the coming months. So then the question becomes, well, who's your audience here? So if I'm actually a journalist, and I'm not, but say you're an unbiased journalist, just like George Stephanopoulos, and you really want to go out there and you want to challenge power. Say you're in New York. You want to challenge Kathy Hochul. You want to challenge the narrative. You want to go after the heart of it. You want to go after Eric Adams. But you know that these people are all on the same side as the powerful bureaucrats in Albany. And they get to decide which organizations could very easily get the kibosh and be out. In Europe, we have seen governments harm the reputation and independence of public media to the point of limiting their citizens' access to differing points of view, said Freedom House research analyst Jessica White. Reversing years of political pressure on weekend or totally co-opted outlets is a tall order, but newly elected governments in Europe are seizing the opportunity to do just that. And what they love to do, of course, is they love to turn around and say, we have to guard democracy from the perils of disinformation and misinformation. So all they have to do is say that an outlet is pushing disinformation, say about climate change. Like I started this half hour with the man child, Justin Trudeau, warning about climate change. Let's say somebody wanted to write a piece about how Cuba, let's just pull Cuba out, you know, why, as an example, has not seen any actual sea level rise to the point of it affecting their wonderful beachfront properties or anywhere else for that matter. Maybe somebody wants to call BS on the whole argument by saying, how is it that insurance companies are still writing policies on all these beachfront homes if they know climate change is such an existential threat? How is it that the price of real estate for a house on the beach in the Jersey Shore, for example, or it's New York State, so say, you know, the Hamptons, Howard Stern's beachfront estate in the Hamptons, how come that house is not underwater? Or how come people that want to buy those homes face sticker shock when they find out that those homes are worth somehow more than Mar-a-Lago? They're valued at 35, 40, 50, maybe even more millions of dollars for privately owned homes, not palatial social clubs like Mar-a-Lago is. And yet somehow these homes demand that kind of money. And say you wanted to write about that and say, I don't get it. You know, if this whole rising sea level thing is such an absolute existential threat, why are banks still giving loans? How are these homes really valued at this if these homes are eventually going to be underwater? Aren't all these people fleecing everybody with inflated values? How can I really argue that my beachfront home in Southampton is worth $30 million when it's going to be underwater in 7 years or sooner? Of course, the answer would be you can't. That piece of property is useless. It's worthless. You're sitting on something that is going to be underwater soon. How does an insurance company then write that homeowner's policy knowing that that house is going to be flooded out to the point of not being able to be rebuilt because it's literally going to be under the ocean? The answer is nobody really believes this. If banks and real estate companies and the people that own these homes really believed all that, they'd be selling these things for pennies on the dollar and they'd be trying to get to higher elevation. But it is a lie that is pushed all the time. Now, you remember Yuri Berliner from NPR, National Public Radio, which, as my buddy Johnny Cook always says, is beyond parody. He described in April how the public broadcaster, they came to be dominated by the distilled worldview of a very small segment of the U.S. population. The broadcaster has been shedding audience. Nobody tunes into NPR anymore except to get what they like, which is to have their own positions reinforced. Now, I don't mind if you understand when you come to this show, I have a point of view. You can like it. You can not like it. You can disagree, right? You're allowed to disagree with those things. Oh, look, they're showing the political ad, Matt DeSantis, the 2008 political ad on Fox News on the 5 right now, about 3 a.m. I referenced it earlier in the show. Now, they must have heard me say it. Dana Perino was probably listening, and they grabbed it for the 5. You still have not grabbed it, even though I brought it up 2 hours ago. And gave the people at the 5 a heads up, and now they scooped us, even though I brought it up first.
I had it. I didn't know you wanted to actually hear it.
Well, we probably should in a moment. But let me continue with this, and stop distracting me, will you?
I didn't do anything.
So you know when you come here, I'm not pretending to be an unbiased journalist, and Matt DeSantis is not pretending to have a laugh that is akin to being an adult. We don't pretend on this program. It's all very honest. But Yuri Berliner's point was that NPR, they pretend like they're journalists over there. And it's not true. What they really want to do is they want to turn around and they want to reinforce the narrative for their audience. Otherwise, the audience won't tune in anymore. So they don't even try. That's why they didn't pursue the Russia collusion story after it became a hoax. Well, we knew it was a hoax, but after it was proven to be a hoax, just like the Hunter Biden laptop story, they dropped that too. They don't want to go there. I was noticing today, Jon Stewart, you know, he's back on The Daily Show now, and he had a clip where God came down and spoke to them. As Joe Biden said the other day, that the only person who can get him out of this race would be the Almighty. And so Jon Stewart, they did this little bit where God comes down and tells Joe Biden to get out of the race. And it was funny. And the point of, obviously, is it's not really God. It's a guy dressed up like God. It's kind of one of those tongue-in-cheek jokes. But you should have read the comments on Instagram where they posted the reel of this. By the way, you can follow me on Instagram at Zioli Show. And the left's heads were exploding. Why aren't you making fun of Trump? You should be making Trump jokes. You're part of the problem, Jon Stewart. You're part of the problem, Daily Show. They've become so accustomed to getting what they want, which is tuning in and having their own points of view reinforced, that it's even now when a comedian goes out there and dares to challenge the narrative, they get blasted by the left. Well, Jon Stewart doesn't really care, but NPR cares. So NPR kowtowed to them. And that's what led Yuri Berliner to write that piece and say, this isn't news. They're pushing a narrative no different than MSNBC and CNN are. New York is not alone. Last year, Catherine Booney of Nieman Reports found state-level experiments designed to support local journalism as a crucial public service are expanding. From New Jersey to California to New Mexico to Wisconsin to Illinois to Washington and beyond. You notice what all these states have in common, right? They're all lefty blue states, obviously. Because the Democrats love to control the narrative. They love to control information, and they love to tell you what is information and disinformation, which is what J.D. Tuccilli at Reason points out. Maybe control is the entire point. To some, that's a feature. Media activists Roberta McChesney and John Nichols have long favored government funding of news media. They also believe the urgency to assert public control over the media system has never been greater. Why? Because of Donald Trump. That's why. And all his lies that are put out there, all of his lies and the lies by the left or the right, I should say, about climate change. They say the problem has gotten so severe that the media system has become a major barrier to the exercise of democracy and to discussion of any of the mounting social problems that face us. And there is no reason to think the media can self-correct. All the pressure is working against reform in the public interest. And then they say, well, what about the internet? Won't that break open the media system for us so that we don't have to worry about media policy making? Well, they want to control that, too. You know, years ago, when before the internet really came around, think about it. You probably listened to Rush Limbaugh just like I did. And Rush Limbaugh's whole point back then was when Air America first came around, for example, I don't have to worry about Air America beating me because Air America is representing the exact same viewpoints that you get every day when you turn on the mainstream media, as Rush used to call it back in the day. But it's really not mainstream. So I call it the corporate media today because things have evolved because of the internet. Back then, they wanted to shut down conservative talk radio because they couldn't do it in the marketplace of ideas. Air America was a gigantic failure. Despite the best efforts of Al Franken and Janine Garofalo, it failed miserably. So then they tried to bring back the fairness doctrine, which would have said that you have to have both points of view aired on the air at all times. That didn't work, thank God. But then the internet came around, and now all of a sudden you have these independent journalists, independent talkers. If I get fired tomorrow, which is highly likely, hell, I may not even make it to 7 o'clock at this rate. I know that I could easily ask the Zioli Army to join me in my podcast and I could stream it. I could put it on YouTube and Instagram and X. And actually, you know, as I'm saying this, Matt DeSantis, it sounds like a great idea. What are we waiting for? Just kidding. Corporate overlords. Or am I? I don't know. The point is, that platform now gives guys like me the opportunity to be able to branch out and not be afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid anymore. I've never been afraid, but you shouldn't have to be if you are on our side of the political aisle. But you should be if you're on the left, because how does a journalist on the left make it when they're trying to compete against the corporate media? The answer is they can't. They're pushing out the same drivel. The corporate media has got a bigger platform, so they're going to win. See, I can challenge corporate media, and that's why I have an audience. And I'm loyal to that audience, and the audience is loyal to me. But the government realizes right now that you've got local, pesky, independent journalists out there who aren't getting the memo, and so they need to be able to fund them so that they can control them. Control is the point. It's also why they want to regulate the internet, so that when in the future guys like me have an online platform, they can just shut me down under the guise of promoting disinformation. I'm not on board with this little climate change hoax that they keep pushing every day. So you got to shut me down in the name of mankind.
We like to say people kind, not necessarily mankind.
Thank you, more little inclusive. Fidel. Allegedly. What? Little Fidel's just like a nickname his friends gave him on the playground.
I don't think that's accurate either.
Because he used to dress up every year with a beard and a cigar. when he was a kid for Halloween.
No, you don't want to talk about his Halloween costumes. They were much worse.
Oh, that's right. Didn't he dress as a Nazi at one point? Hitler, right? Didn't he go as Hitler?
No, he wore blackface.
Oh, blackface. That's right. Justin Blackface Trudeau. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
So that's really what it comes down to, is control. And what they want to do is they want to be able to control every aspect of information and disinformation. What we see with Joe Biden right now and this absolute decomposition that's going on with the big guy right in front of our very, very eyes is just that. So Karine Jean-Pierre, they called her out on this today at the White House. And they called her out. You know, this one reporter, and I played you the clip earlier, I won't play it again, but basically said that, like, Karine, do you want to walk anything back now since you were out there yelling at all of us and telling us these were cheap fakes? Remember, Biden also tried to have Nina Jankowicz, the failed musical theater actress, come out and run an entire government division dedicated to pushing out information and to quieting disinformation, all in the name of the children. But then something remarkable happened, which is the American people pushed back on this and said, this is ridiculous. We're tired of this Orwellian control over all of us. We saw it during COVID. The biggest problem that I have with the recent Supreme Court decision, and they talked about the Missouri v. Biden case, is that they came out and they said, well, we don't really have any proof that the government was able to really harm anybody. So there's no standing. So now the lower court's got to go back to them. But what I would have liked to see is what Justice Alito said in his dissent. Hey, if the government is bullying big tech into doing its bidding, it's no different than censorship. The analogy I've always given you is, you got the local restaurant in town, but the owner there is not playing ball with the town council or the mayor. So the health inspector comes around and goes, not for nothing, but this gabagool's like 1 degree too high. I'd hate to have to shut you down. Nice deli you got here. It's the same philosophy, too. That's a nice tech platform you got here, but it's a shame you're putting out all this misinformation. I'd hate to have to shut you down. Same exact philosophy. So this is entirely about control, every aspect of it. But we're told that we're the ones who are Hitlerian in our approach. We want to have the most free marketplace of ideas possible. We don't want the government funding news organizations. We don't want corporations just having a monopoly on the news. We don't want the government regulating the internet. At least I don't. I don't want age verification for social media. I've told you why that is that's a ruse. Designed to get you to believe that it's going to protect your kids, when actually what it's going to do is destroy your anonymity. As much like how the deli owner will bust the chops of the local restaurant in town, or I should say the Board of Health Commissioner will to the local deli in town, or the government bureau that decides who gets the money for journalism will bust the chops of the local newspaper that's not playing ball with their message. Same thing will happen with big tech. Now, if you have age verification, you will not be able to post anonymously because they can always find out who you are. They can always figure that out if they want to. And even the fact that you know that they know or that they could know will make you think twice about posting certain things. And that's ultimately what they want. They ultimately want to remind you, not for nothing, but we could find out who you are. Here's Representative Gregory Meeks with your daily Trump is Hitler clip. We have one of those every day by law in the United States of America. They have to compare Donald Trump to Hitler at least once a day, sometimes more than once. But here's the latest, Congressman Gregory Meeks, why Donald Trump cannot be president again. This is from our buddy Tom Elliott over at Grabian. Take a listen.
Donald Trump cannot be president again. He's an existential threat to democracy. Now, what I think, thank God, Democrats are not Republicans. Republicans just flock in one line. That's something that endangers democracy. That's what happened in the 1930s. The Germans just walked in line.
See?
With Hitler and Stalin. They just walked in line. Democrats like to speak and think on behalf of the constituencies that they represent. Now, I think that it was hugely a mistake, and I don't like the fact that that meeting was leaked. Because what Leader Jeffries is trying to do is bring us all together and listen to every Democrat in the House of Representatives so that we can get everybody's opinion. And that's what we do in a Democratic Party. And we talk to one another so that we can reach our shared goal of making sure that we win the House, we maintain the majority in the Senate, and we win the presidency. And so that's what's going to happen. And I think that the president has another opportunity in these press conferences that he will do, in these town hall meetings that he would do, to show that he is the best messenger.
All right, that's enough of this guy. So the point is this. As they warn you about democracy, they try to control every aspect of information, every aspect of it. And remember, we're not a democracy, thank God. We are a constitutional republic. But don't tell them that, because they will try to use the democracy argument over and over again. The good news, though, is that it's not working. It doesn't work for them. It's not moving the needle, not in any way. Trump beats Kamala Harris even more so than he beats Joe Biden. So in the next segment, I'll get into you who the other possible replacements for Biden could be. If they know they're going to lose with Trump, with Biden, and they know they're going to lose with Kamala Harris, but they have to stop Donald Trump no matter what, who are the other names on the list? I'll share some of those with you upon my return. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Listen, Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. My great friends over there would love to see you. Relationships matter at Cherry Hill Volvo. I say that a lot because it's a guiding principle on just how Judith and her team run their business. They build great relationships by providing a luxury Volvo buying experience because they do what is right. And we broadcast live from the Cherry Hill Volvo studios. They are the only Volvo dealership in our region who stands with us in Talk Radio 1210. The entire country. They're the studio naming sponsor. That's a big deal in this age of cancel culture and this age of intimidation. And Cherry Hill Volvo doubled down and said, we want the studio naming rights. So please show that same support to them. They're going through a renovation right now, and it's not a big deal. I was just there a little while ago, picked up my XC60, but because a renovation comes with a little bit of an extra effort, Judith is making it up to you by doubling down on their already incredibly aggressive incentives and promotions. So go see them today. Cherry Hill Volvos on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. You will get the absolute best experience, and they have beautiful Volvos in stock, new, certified pre-owned, and beautiful Volvos to lease as well. Maybe the XC90. That's the third row family car we drove up the Tupper Lake for our vacation last week. Ton of cargo room, and everybody was safe and sound for that very long trip, and it was long. Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, where relationships matter.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
I want to thank my buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, for being our top story sponsor. I'm going to be seeing him tomorrow, as a matter of fact. Dr. Mike's a great guy, great friend of the show, and he is the master of dental implants. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. You know, speaking of totalitarians, there's a congresswoman in New Jersey, Congresswoman Bonnie Watson Coleman. Now, she first made famous on this program years and years ago when she called Peter Strzok, you remember him, from the collusion with his gumata, Lisa Page, during the phony Russia collusion hoax, when she was... examining him, I guess, when he was testifying, and she said this.
First of all, Mr. Strzok, I want to thank you for your service. Secondly, Mr. Strzok, I think you made a big mistake.
He made a lot of mistakes, but his name is Strzok. Here's Representative Bonnie Watson Coleman of New Jersey today, talking about having, and thanks to our buddy Danny McShute for sending this our way. He's a great guy, great friend of the show. He sent this to my attention earlier today. Take a listen.
I think it was a wonderful idea that we have a registry of every gun that is owned by a civilian in the United States of America, because then we could have perhaps less killings in our neighborhoods, less killings at our supermarkets, less killings at our concerts, less killings, period, in the United States of America. And when we talk about...
A national gun registry of every gun. Again, these are totalitarians, these people. That's who they are. So Kamala Harris is not going to beat Donald Trump. I don't worry for a second if Kamala Harris is the nominee. I don't. I'm also not convinced she's going to be, though, even if they push Joe Biden aside. Now, it's funny. You know, my friend sent me a clip. I guess it was something that Charlie Kirk had posted earlier today. Where, by the way, did we ever find out why he blew us off that day? And is he ever planning on coming back on the show? Or
no, and he never rescheduled.
What's up with that?
I don't know.
All right. Well, in 2022, Jill Biden made the Marine Corps Band compose a special song just for her, the official White House functions, entitled, quote, Fanfare for the First Lady. And his point was, if you think that Dr. Biden, you always have to say that by law, obviously, is going to allow her husband to let go of power willingly, think again. Now, look, I understand that point about Dr. Jill Biden really pulling the strings, but I also don't think Dr. Jill Biden has that much power. I don't. I think there are a lot more powerful forces around right now. But it is interesting how her name keeps coming up. So here's Peter Ducey today asking the White House fembot Karine Jean-Pierre if Jill Biden is making decisions for the president. This comes after Speaker Kevin McCarthy revealed that she would often sit in meetings with Joe Biden. So the First Lady is, no doubt about it, power hungry of the utmost degree. And yeah, she does want her husband to stay in the race. It's elder abuse of the highest order. We've never seen anything like this before. It is elder abuse in the cruelest form. It was Michael Moore who said that, and it's rare that I agree with Michael Moore, but it is elder abuse, no doubt about it. And yes, Joe Biden is clinging on to power, but she's the First Lady. She might be able to convince Joe to stay in, but they won't be able to convince Joe to stay in because I think they have the goods on him. Nevertheless, Peter Ducey asked KJP, the White House fembot, cut number one.
So Kevin McCarthy just said that when he was the speaker, many times when we had meetings in the Oval Office, Jill was there as well. When the First Lady is in these meetings, is she making decisions or is she just advising the president?
No, the president is the president of the United States. Mm. He makes decisions.
Okay. So Kevin McCarthy.
All right. So he makes the decision. So now the follow-up question to this is a very troubling one. Let's say it's 11 p.m. And that got us to thinking about that ad that came out in 2008, which is it's 3 a.m. and there's a phone call at the White House. Who do you want to answer that phone call? Peter Ducey's kind of alluding to that a little bit with this question to KJP, which is, that you know, say the Pentagon at some point picks up an incoming nuke. Are you calling the First Lady? Are you calling Dr. Jill Biden to make the decision here? Who gets notified? Take a listen.
We know the president says that his health is fine, but it's just his brain. And that he's sharpest before...
He was joking, by the way. I just want to make sure that that's out there. And people...
What's the
people joke? He was making a lighthearted joke as he was speaking off... He was speaking off the cuff and he was making a joke. You know the president. He likes to joke a lot. Okay. He's the same guy who says, I know I look 40, right? So he likes to make jokes. It is a joke. I think people laugh when he says it.
Well, so he also said he's sharpest before 8 p.m. So, say that the Pentagon at some point picks up an incoming nuke. It's 11 p.m. Who do you call? The First Lady?
He has a team that lets him know of any news that is pertinent and important to the American people. He has someone or... That is decided, obviously, with his National Security Council on who gets to tell him that news.
Gets to tell him that news. Now, think about that for a moment. Does anybody think the issue here is telling the president that there's an incoming nuke? No. The issue is having the president decide what the hell to do about an incoming nuke. Now, look, it may be friendly fire. It may be an accident. It may be the Whopper computer from War Games launching it, but it doesn't matter. The president still has to make a decision in that moment. What is it like when you wake up Joe Biden at 3 a.m.? You've seen the guy at 9 p.m. and it was not good. What's it like in the middle of the night when you have to wake him up? I mean, everybody has to deal with this in the middle of the night. If you wake up for something, for me, it's often when my 4-year-old Reagan is yelling. And usually it's because she has to go to the bathroom and she can get up and go to the bathroom and go to the potty by herself. But she still likes to make a freaking spectacle out of it. So we've got to wake us up, too. Not bitter at all, having my sleep interrupted by that little domestic terrorist. But nevertheless, what do you do at 3 a.m., though, if you're the president and you are 82 years old with cognitive decline and dementia? And how long does it take for your brain to function? And you've got to make a decision here in a split second. That's the key. That's the point. Now, this is not the first time this came up. In 2008, there was a campaign ad that ran, and it ran on this exact question. It's 3 a.m., and there's a call going at the White House. It's an urgent call. It's an urgent crisis. Who's going to tell the president? That's the question. But who do you want once the president is told? How do you make sure that the president knows what the hell he's doing? I don't know about you, but I'm worried that Joe Biden's going to think that an incoming nuke is translation for banana pudding and think this is great. No, Mr. President, it's a nuke. It's a nuclear missile coming in, not a banana split. Take a listen to the campaign ad.
It's 3 a.m. and your children are safe and asleep. But there's a phone in the White House and it's ringing. Something's happening in the world. Your vote will decide who answers that call. Whether it's someone who already knows the world's leaders, knows the military, someone tested and ready to lead in a dangerous world. It's 3 a.m. and your children are safe and asleep. Who do you want answering the phone?
Now, do you want Joe Biden not answering the phone, but when somebody comes and wakes him up in the middle of the night, just think about that. I mean, he's about to address NATO and prove his fitness, and he'll be on teleprompter. So, you know, he's a lot better on teleprompter than when he's not using a teleprompter. And part of the reason why the debate was such a fiasco for him was he was not on script. But that's the thing. He wasn't on script, and it was nighttime, and people with his condition get worse at night. Everybody knows that. Biden even himself has made that point before, and the White House came out and said that too. So what happens in the middle of the night if there's a crisis? And Joe Biden gets the call. And then how do you make sure that that guy is able to answer with any sense of cognitive whatever? Now, one of the things that is breaking news right now is that according to officials, this is Raw Alerts on Twitter put this out, a junior Navy sailor attempted to access President Biden's medical records from a military database 3 times in February, but failed. The sailor, whose name remains undisclosed, faced administrative discipline following an investigation that concluded in late April. The sailor, part of the Navy's hospital corps based at Fort Belvoir, Virginia, accessed the Genesis Medical Health System on February 23rd, but did not retrieve President Biden's records. President Biden was informed of the attempted access shortly after White House staff were notified by the Defense Department. The sailor never reached the president's medical records and couldn't have accessed the information because it is restricted. The junior Navy sailor has been disciplined. I find that to be very interesting that that story's coming out now. It's almost like another little tell, right? Like, you know, we know what's in those medical records, and if we had to leak those medical records, you know, not for nothing, but we certainly could. Of course, for my money, I still say that the best thing they have on him is the Hunter Biden laptop. There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that. Oh, interestingly enough, this came out too. So Judge Juan Merchan, his daughter, as you know, was a big Democrat fundraiser. She helped raise $93 million for her Democrat clients, and she was paid $12 million for her work in just this cycle alone. And that was something that Congresswoman, who's the one we had on from Florida, Kat Kamak, was talking about in a hearing on the House today. We got to get her back on. Hopefully she'll be at the convention. She was a great guest. She was one of my favorites. We'll get some good ones on next week for the Republican National Convention. We are live from Milwaukee doing Radio Row. It's going to be great. So there you go. I mean, we are looking at right now this all-out effort to try to get Joe Biden out of the race from the power brokers that be. And you have a lot of people who are coming out and saying Biden's got to go. But everybody keeps saying that, no, Jill will get to make the decision. Jill is the one who gets to make this decision. But you know who gets to really make the decision? And that's the voters. So here's Michigan, swing state Michigan. Remember yesterday I talked to you about how millions of Americans right now are realizing they cannot afford a family vacation. They have to forego summer vacation right now in Joe Biden's America. Well, restaurants in Michigan are seeing 60% fewer customers this year. 2 in 5 Michigan restaurants are not profitable whatsoever. Michigan, much like Pennsylvania, is a must-win state. You win Pennsylvania, you win Michigan, game, set, match. That's the White House right there. So here's a CBS News report. Far right-wing CBS News. Cut 22.
Royal Oaks Bandit Tavern is closing the doors after less than a year in business. The restaurant made the announcement on social media today, thanking the community for their support. Bandit just opened its doors in November. And Bandit joins a growing list of Metro Detroit restaurants that have had to close their doors in recent weeks. The Michigan Restaurants and Lodging Association says restaurants across the state are seeing 60% fewer customers this year. In a recent survey, the department found that right now, 2 in 5 Michigan restaurants are not profitable. The co-owner of Green Dot Staples, Jacques Driscoll, says restaurants have faced huge challenges since the pandemic, including rising food costs and inflation.
The good news is we still have, you know, diners coming in. You know, our margins have shrunk, you know, exponentially, it seems like, which were pretty slim margins to begin with. So just trying to find ways to be creative to, like, keep things going, you know. The biggest thing, you know, you don't want to raise your costs too much, you know. You want to keep a good value for your product and everything. So just trying to work around that is our biggest challenge.
Driscoll says he and his wife have had to close their Lansing location so they can focus on their Detroit restaurant.
It's not easy. And the economy stinks and Joe Biden's going to lose, which is why the call to get him out of the race. Well, Stephen King, the novelist, he's now calling on Joe Biden to step aside. Even Meathead himself, Rob Reiner. Even Meathead says it's time for Joe Biden to step down and step aside. You know, not all is lost, though, for people in Biden's age group. STDs have jumped nearly a quarter among seniors during the pandemic. How about that? I think that's great. I mean, they were having a lot of fun during lockdown. And obviously breaking the stay-at-home orders, clearly. So I think that it's very obvious to people watching this what's happening. But the other reason why I can tell you I think Trump wins no matter what is because a progressive dark money group has settled on their 2024 strategy. And here's a strategy. It's not dealing with the restaurant owners in Michigan or the views of their workers or anything else or the concerns of them or the concerns of customers or anything else on the economy. No. This group, which is launching a huge digital campaign, it's called Stand Up America. It is all about the Supreme Court and taking away rights. And it's the same thing. It's the exact same talking point. Trump's Hitler and the Supreme Court's taking away your rights and they're going to turn it back to 1960 again and blah, 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 blah. Do you realize that nobody is discussing the economy from the perspective of being Democrats? Not one of them. None of them are. Because what are they going to say? Yeah, it stinks. We know it stinks, but give us another 4 years to unstink it when we're the ones who made it stink? No way. No chance. So now they're going after the fact that the court is going to be a major problem and a major threat. But there's another subtle issue with this, and that is that they are targeting Justice Sonia Sotomayor as one of the oldest of the three liberal, as the oldest of the three liberal justices. So what they're doing as they target this is they want people to know Sotomayor could theoretically die during Joe Biden's or Donald Trump's second term. So they also want her to maybe step aside a little bit, this progressive group, kind of shoving her aside. Even Justice Elena Kagan has said she's received some pressure from the left to retire. That's right, to retire. And she's only 64 years old. But they're very worried that Donald Trump will get to appoint their successors. And I want to mention something I mentioned at the start of the show today. I will not entertain any conspiracy theories that the guy shot outside of Justice Sonia Sotomayor's home was, in fact, a CIA assassin there to kill her to make way for Kamala Harris to go on the Supreme Court. He was just a carjacker. The reason why I know that is because if it was the CIA, he would have succeeded. So don't worry. They do want to get her out, but it probably was not that. But yeah, her security detail, apparently U.S. Marshals shot this guy who was trying to steal a car outside of her house. It's a little bit, I don't know, something about the story stinks. My Fugazi radar's up, but nevertheless, it might have been a left-wing wacko, honestly. It's very possible. They want her gone. They're worried. They're worried that she's going to wind up dying in office like Ruth Bader Ginsburg did. Now, you know, if that happens, then that paves the way for the answer to their prayers, which is finding a place for Kamala Harris. I mean, if she retires, obviously, would hope no harm falls on her. But if she were to leave the court, then they could move her aside. Now, if that were to happen and Kamala Harris goes, then you solve the problem of an even less popular person than Joe Biden. But then let's say it's Kamala Harris. Who does she pick as a running mate? Well, the New York Times wrote a piece today about this. Some of the names expressed, including Susie Kuhl's theory, Josh Shapiro of Pennsylvania, that Mr. Shapiro could theoretically help Democrats capture Pennsylvania, a battleground crucial to victory in November. The other name that came up was Andy Beshear of Kentucky, but I mean, Kentucky's not a state they're going to win. And the other name that came up, of course, was another guy from North Carolina, a guy, the governor, Roy Cooper, a Southern moderate, they say, who has had to work with a Republican legislature. And of course, you have Wes Moore from Maryland. So these names are all floating around here. I'm curious, Matt DeSantis, in the short Veep stakes on the short list, is Tim Scott's name coming up at all?
Him and Ben Carson are supposedly not officially eliminated from the sweepstakes, but it's a long shot for both of them.
Why? Why for Tim Scott? I can understand for Dr. Carson, but why Tim Scott?
I don't know. I thought everybody liked Tim Scott.
Well.
Oh, Glenn Youngkin is supposedly not officially eliminated yet either.
Wouldn't Glenn Youngkin be a great pick, governor of Virginia.
Selection,
yeah,
because Virginia is up for grabs now, and if you pick Youngkin, I would imagine you win that state.
But again, Johnny Cook, who lives in Virginia, is worried that Glenn Youngkin is a closet Mitt Romney. I don't know. He would know better than me. I'm not in Virginia, but by all accounts, Youngkin seems to say the right things.
He
right?
also can't run for another term in Virginia. I don't think he can run for two consecutive.
No, you can't. You have to skip a term. You can only do one term and then you got to take a break and then you can try to come back. So. But then the other question with all this Biden stuff is, why is Hunter Biden showing up so much at the White House? It's another question that Peter Ducey asked the White House femme about Karine Jean-Pierre today. The story that came out from Daily Wire, Hunter Biden is now serving as the de facto gatekeeper for access to President Joe Biden. Why? Why is Hunter Biden, who's been convicted, he's a convicted felon, you know, on that federal gun charge and is facing trial starting in September for the financial crimes, and this is the stuff that links right to the big guy. Why is this guy in the White House all the time? NBC News reported last week that Hunter Biden was attending official White House meetings as the family seeks to grab the reins of power away from advisors who they feel have damaged the president and whom they suspect of leaking to the media. So I'll share that with you in the next hour. What did Karine Jean-Pierre say when confronted by Peter Doocy about why Hunter Biden is showing up so often in the West Wing and having such enormous access as well? Thank you for watching on YouTube if you did stream the show. I mentioned tomorrow I will be going to see my buddy Dr. Mike Veneria. It's July. Have you seen the dentist yet this year? They recommend you should go twice a year. Mama Zioli introduced Dr. Mike Veneria to our family, and I'm so glad she did because he's the absolute best dentist that there is, and he's a great guy. You should make your appointment to see him. He's the master of dental implants and the master of making you look your absolute best when it comes to your smile. With two offices to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, reach out to Dr. Mike today for that wonderful smile. For over 10 consecutive years, he's been recognized as a top dentist in New Jersey among his peers. And he has one of the most respected reputations as the master of dental implants of anywhere, any guy you know. So don't go to the closest dentist, go to the best, and that's Dr. Mike. To schedule your free implant consultation today or to book that long overdue dentist visit, call 856-786-2020, 856-786-2020, or visit VeneriaDental.com. That's V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. You'll love the smile, you'll love the office, the people that work there, the music he plays, and you'll love the care of Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com.
Thanks for listening to the Zioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 oh.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.